Go to your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to go there together in Scripture. And I feel this, you know, tonight we're going to do communion here in a little bit. And I've mentioned several times throughout the week here, let's prepare our hearts. And I mentioned this morning, let's prepare our hearts, because it's so important that we approach this ordinance that God has given us with a pure heart, amen, with holy hands, that we get the most out of it. Amen. I don't want this. Communion's not nothing just to be a boring service or something. Oh, it's just a sentence. It's more than that. And we know the Bible speaks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you'll go there with me. I know last time we did communion, it came from these verses. But I'm going to add some things to that. Some things I feel like that you probably already know. But it's good to rehearse these things in your mind. Amen. How many knows it's good to be reminded of the Scripture of things? Amen. You don't have to quit quoting John 3:16 because you memorized it. Amen. You can say it all the time if you want. Amen. It's good to hear things from becoming familiar with things. You don't want to become so familiar with them that you don't pay attention to it. But it's all right to be familiar with what we are as a church. You know, salvation, repentance, all these things, communion. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 is what it says. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup which He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Do y'all see that? As oft as you do it? As oft? One writer said, as seldom as we do it. That's what he said. He says, never become a seldom thing. Communion is important. Amen. As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of Me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wheresoever, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Or they're dead, is what that means there. They're not just taking a nap. It means they're actually dead. Alright, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So tonight, for a few moments, if I was to title this small time here together, I would probably title it this, The Significance and the Seriousness of Communion. The Significance and the Seriousness of Holy Communion. So in the evangelical churches, we recognize two ordinances that are given to us by Jesus Christ for His people to observe. All of us should know what these two ordinances are. Number one is water baptism. If you're here tonight and you're saved, and you've never been baptized in water, you need to get baptized in water. It doesn't save you, but it is an ordinance that God has given us. Also, the second ordinance, which we are with the subject of discussion tonight, is Holy Communion. It's the Lord's Supper, as many people would call it. And there's many different places we can look at this at in Scripture. And another people call it the Eucharist, where it was the giving thanks for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I want you to understand this. Now, however, the value of your experience tonight with communion depends on the condition of your heart. The value of this experience with communion is completely based on the condition of the heart of those who participate. My friend, we know this. Now, I want to say this and get this here tonight, that Holy Communion, when He talks about there's some that sleep and some partake unworthily, He's not just talking about to a world that is lost. Now, how can they remember somebody they don't even know? But He is talking to the saints that are in the church that says, look, when you partake of communion, this isn't something you ought to just come to and treat it like it's grape juice and crackers and just come to church because you're supposed to. No, He says you are to approach this as something that is very, very serious. It is so serious a thing when it comes to communion that if you come and partake of communion with an unprepared heart, there can be great repercussions and chastening of God if you do not prepare yourself for this moment. That's why I told you several times, prepare prepare yourself for communion. Prepare yourself for communion, because tonight we are going to partake. And we know that God uses this as an ordinance. It is something that is very serious. Number one tonight, first point of discussion. First, we're going to understand the significance of the Lord's Supper. And we must understand this. He begins almost in verse 23. This is what it says. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. Now I want you to get this. This is important here. That Paul says, I have received. I have received of the Lord. What he is saying here, he received this truth concerning communion not from anybody else, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. He may have heard about this maybe from Peter and John, but the reason he's making it a command or something unto the Corinthian church, he said, look, I've received this from the Lord. You know, he wasn't there at the Last Supper with the regular disciples. He was not there. He was not there participating in that. But he says this. He's also said this in Galatians 1, 11 through 12. He talks about receiving something from the Lord. When it talks about the rapture, like we talked about this morning, Paul speaks of that great mystery. He received that from the Lord. He tells us that many different times. So notice this. The other apostles had been in the upper room with the Lord, and actually, it was actually there when Jesus instituted this great communion and the Lord's Supper. Paul was not. But the Lord showed it to Paul. People say, where did he show it to him at? I'll tell you where he showed it to him at. Most likely in prayer. If it was when he was in Arabia, whatever it was, in a prayer closet, God came down and showed him the importance of what had taken place at that Last Supper. Remember this. Paul didn't have a New Testament like you had. He's writing it. Amen. He didn't have all that. He has maybe the testimony from the apostles. But here the Lord gives it to him, shows it to him. He says, look, number one, I have received this of the Lord. But then he goes on to tell them, look, I've delivered it unto you. Now, I just pictured this way, and the way that I gather it and put it together in Scripture. I picture Paul when he is with the Corinthians. When he's writing this letter, he's at distance. But he's with the Corinthians. I'm sure he showed it to them. But right here, he's putting it into writing to let them understand, look, I know I showed this to you already. But look, this needs to be a practice within the church. And just in case anybody comes along and tries to refute this, no, sir. This is something I meant when I was there. I have delivered it unto you. And when he delivered it unto the Corinthian church, guess what? He delivered it unto us as the New Testament church, that it's something that we are to keep and to partake in. And Paul now goes around, he turns the question here of why it is instituted in verses 23 through 26 as well. He says this, number one, when we partake of the Lord's communion here, the Lord's Supper, he said we come to remember, first of all, get this, the Lord's person. The Lord's very person. And then here, what he says about remembering the Lord's person, he doesn't use that word directly there. But what he means here, he gives us two specific emblems to remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, there was the emblem of his body, and it reads like this. Then the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So there's enough here that we look at this message that he says, look, when you take in the bread. Now I want you to get this, the importance of this. Bread was very common in that day. Bread is very common nowadays, but it was even more common during that day. Bread was one of their main sources of protein in meals, what they ate all the time. So notice this, how many times had Jesus taken this bread with his disciples in times past? And he sat there and he broke it, and they ate it maybe around the fire, or they ate at different times just to feed them. He took the bread and he broke it. When he fed the 5,000, and we know around maybe that, not including the women and the children, it was an ordinary, everyday, commonplace act of taking bread and breaking it. It was very common in that day. But once before, like I said, he's done it many times before. But now, here at the Last Supper, he invests a simple commodity with a great significance. He breaks this bread. And there he's given it a purpose and a reason why he is doing so. It is an everyday commodity, but now he's going to give it a significance all in its own. This is my body, is what he said here. So we notice this first, before he said this, the Bible says he gave
thanks. Amen. Now, I want you to get this. When He gave thanks for this bread, it was more than just a daily mealtime prayer. Well, I believe it was more than that. When He broke this bread, it was not just for the bread. Now, I'm sure He was thankful for that. Of course, we know we pray before our meals. But this was just not ordinary grace before a meal. He gave thanks, then deliberately broke it, and then solemnly said this. He said, "This is My body." Now, I want you to get this. "This is My body." In other words, He stood there with that bread in His hands, which symbolized His body, and gave thanks for the impending breaking of His literal human body. He's about to go to Calvary, and He's giving thanks for it. Isn't that amazing? Amen. He's about to go die. He's about to be whipped. He's about to be crucified. He's about to be broken, so to speak. He's about to be whipped and beaten, all these things. And you know what He's saying? He breaks that bread. And He says, "You know what? This is My body." And He's giving thanks for the breaking of His body. Amen. He could do that before the cross. Certainly we can do it after the cross. Amen. If He could do it before the cross, certainly we can do it after the cross. What an extraordinary act of faith this is. Soon that body of His would be battered and bruised and broken beyond imagination. He would be punched and slapped and crowned with thorns. He would be scorched to the bone. His very beard would be torn from His cheeks. He would be hammered to a cross of wood, and every bone in His body would be wrenched out of joint, like the Bible says. Yet He gave thanks before He break this bread. Isn't that amazing that He gave thanks? My church tonight, hear me, my brothers and sisters. We're here tonight that we're we partake in communion. We're here to give thanks for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we do this. It isn't some dead ordinance. It isn't something we just do because we're bored every now and then. No, it's saying, "Look, Lord, thank You for Your body. Thank You for Your body. Thank You for the whipping post. Thank You for Calvary. And thank You for dying for me." The next emblem we're very familiar with as well is the emblem of His blood. There were two symbolic acts here. First, the Bible says, first there was the taking of the cup. And after the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped. Number two, after He had took the cup, notice this, then there was a making of the new covenant, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." So notice this, the contents of the cup was clearly intended to symbolize the blood that He was going to shed at Calvary. You know what? We really don't know what was inside the cup. It says fruit of the vine. We guess grapes. Amen. But we pretty much know it most likely was some sort of juice, something from the vine. We know that. Not fermented. I believe that as well. Amen. I don't believe in sipping saints at all. I don't believe in that. Praise God. So we look at this and we've got to understand this. When He took the cup, He had this intended to be to symbolize the bloodshed of the cross of Calvary and for the sin of the world. We know Brother Shane just mentioned it all throughout the Old Testament. The killing of lambs, the killing of bullets after bullets, blood that would run down that temple. All the blood that was shed, none of it was good enough. But here was a richer blood. Here that flowed through nobler veins. And the Lord would have us never to forget not only the breaking of His body, but He says, "Look, never forget this, church." But He said, "Oh, never forget My blood." Amen. Do you know there's a lot of churches that's forgotten about the blood of Jesus and the contents that were poured out of Calvary? Oh, but never forget about the blood of Jesus. It is still powerful. It is still real. It is still consistent. Set the captive free. It still can deliver the drug addict. Demons still hate it. All of you know why? Because that blood was noble. And then He goes on to say this, that the shedding of His blood would serve another purpose. It would ratify the new covenant. Amen. You know, with Abraham, He made a blood covenant. Find it all throughout Old Testament Scripture. But here with His disciples, He said, "Look, take me. This is a new covenant." You can read through Jeremiah chapter 31. Read if you never studied the New Covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31 really shows so much light onto that about the coming New Covenant. So here, notice this. The Lord here activates the clauses in the New Covenant, which has to do with salvation. His shed blood symbolizing the cup. Made to the New Covenant, made the New Covenant possible. Christians are brought into the New Covenant to become partakers in salvation when you are washed in the blood. Amen. There ain't no other agent that's going to cleanse you but the blood of Jesus. Another thing that's interesting here, I won't going to go here, we ain't got time, but He did this during the Passover. Amen. The last Passover. He initiates a new covenant
Forget the Passover, basically, is what he's saying. Look, not saying it had no significance, but he said, here's a new covenant. Look, Peter, John, all you, when you come around this table next year, look, you ain't going to sit here and eat this lamb, and that way, you know, they may still done that some, but he said, you ain't going to sit here. No, it had a brand new significance. You know what? Grape juice will never be the same to me. Amen. As frequently, I'm walking down Walmart, I see Welch's grape juice. You can't help but think about the blood of Jesus. Amen. Drink it. Praise God. Do communion at home. You can do that. I recommend if you're a married couple, and I need to practice that more in my life, have communion with your family. So I like to do that. You don't have to have a preacher sit over here and do... No, go home, buy you some grape juice, buy you some whatever it is. Take time, have communion right there in your home. Make your place, make it a place of worship. So, as we move into this, we ain't got time to touch on all the new covenant. But he says, notice this, when you do this, when you eat the bread, when you drink the cup there, do it in remembrance of me. So notice this, at the Lord's table tonight, even tonight, we should be occupied with no man but Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. We're not here tonight just to see each other. When we take communion, I encourage you, if you focus 100% on Jesus, it'll become a living, powerful experience in your life. Don't worry about the music. Don't worry about this. Focus on Jesus. And when you focus on Jesus, it has so much significance to it. We should focus our thoughts, our hymns, our scripture, our ministry. Even tonight, Brother Dick, why are you talking about communion before we do communion? Because it's important to do so. I'm getting your mind heavenward. I'm getting your mind Christward here. We ought to be thinking about, when we think of Jesus, we should think about Him being eternal, uncreated, self-existing, second person of the Godhead, co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal with the Father, possessed of all the attributes of the deity. We should remember how He stepped out of eternity into time, how He lived among us as men among men, as God intended men to be, man inhabited by God. We should trace His pathway here below. The life that He lived, the truth that He taught, the way that He was, 1,000 texts, 100 hymns will all come to mind when you think about Jesus, because Jesus is everything to us. The second thing we'll look at is this, not only the Lord's person, but the Lord's passion. Notice what it says here, the Lord's passion. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. You notice that? Ye do show the Lord's death. So the emblems in the Lord's Supper take us directly to Calvary. Nobody here today was there the day that Jesus died. But I tell you, when you begin to remember and take part of communion, God wants to take you there in your spiritual mind. And He wants to show you the reality of what He has done for us. I believe people can get healed during communion. He said, Brother Derek, how so? Well, you're partaking of this. It's nothing to do with the grape juice. It's nothing to do with the cracker. It's about your spiritual mind being towards Jesus. And when anybody focuses on Jesus, ain't no telling what's going to happen. Oh, if our services would be filled with just thinking about Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? If you're just thinking about Jesus. So notice this. He goes on, not only the Lord's person, not only the Lord's passion, but let's look at the Lord's position. This is a great point here. Notice this. He says, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. Now I want you to get this. We notice this, that when He says this, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. When you partake of communion here, follow me, for the Lord is no longer on the cross. He is on the throne. And guess what? He's coming again. So we know that communion, yes, points us back to Calvary, but we're doing this until He comes. So it's something that even in our walk with the Lord, when we do this, our meditation at the Lord's Supper should include the thoughts and the sure certainty of His return, knowing that He died, He rose again, He's coming back. Communion is about it all. It's about the complete work of Calvary. It's about Him being our high priest. It's about Him being our advocate. It's about Him being with the Father. It's about Him being at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So throughout Scripture, the Bible speaks of the sufferings of Christ. But guess what? If you think about the sufferings of Christ, you can't help but think about the glory of Christ. When I think of the cross, I'm thinking 3 days later. Man, how depressing would it be? For every time you thought of Calvary, you left Him in the grave. Man, I think of the cross and I'm like,
Lord, you did so much for us, but he got back up.
Amen. There's hope at it. There's a sunrise on that third day. There's hope in there. And guess what? We look at there, look at the cross. It brings an instant doxology. And if you don't know what doxology is, it means a waiting glory. Amen. It means a present glory of God. I'm telling you, I like what a brother said the other day. If we have more neology, we'll have more doxology. Amen. We need to focus on the cross. Yes. But we're doing this with in mind. He's coming again. He's my high priest. He's working right now. So tonight when we do this, keep that in mind. He arose from the dead. He ascended on high. He transcends all time and space. He is coming for His church. And then with His church, He's going to reign. I think about all that tonight. Praise the Lord. So Paul reminds us, as oft as you do this, like I said, as seldom as often. I believe this shouldn't become something that's just a habit. I think we all agree on that. This ought to be something that is real when we do it. It ought to be real when we do it. And the last thing here, having discussed the significance of the Lord's Supper, Paul turns to the seriousness of the Lord's Supper. And it says this, there's a warning that is recorded in verses 27 through 28. He mentions a very real danger and taking lightly the Lord's Supper. Notice this. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Isn't that a little scary sounding? Being guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord. Brother Derek, what is Paul saying there? When you partake in this holy ordinance and you've got sin hidden in your heart, you've got grudges hidden in your heart, you've got sluggardness, slothfulness, no hunger and desire for the things of God in your heart, he says you partake unworthily. He said you're in danger. Notice what it says here. Verse 29, it mentions this word only twice here. In verse 27 and also verse 29, the word unworthily there. It means occurring. It means to participate in the Lord's Supper without proper preparation of heart. Brother Derek, is it important to prepare yourself for communion? Yes, it is. You say, I'm saved. Still, examine yourself. There's nothing wrong. Now look, when we're saying this, it's not to condemn you to a place where you say, look, I can't partake. I read about a certain group of people that were so zealous about the Lord's table. If you weren't a church member, you couldn't partake. And they would ask, if you came from another church, you had to have paperwork to partake. We don't believe that, church. We believe to protect the Lord's table is simply asking you to do this. The Holy Ghost is faithful to deal with us. And if you examine yourself with an honest, open heart, honestly, God will be honest with you. Amen. Don't argue with the Holy Ghost. We say that frequently. Don't argue with Him. When He's dealing with us, say yes to Him. He'll show you everything that's wrong. If you just simply listen and ask. You may not even ask, He'll show you. Amen. But when you're examining yourself, I know He'll show you. I know He's faithful to do that. If you don't know, ask the preacher. Ask an elder in the church. You can do that. Nobody's mad at you. Nobody's mad at anybody. It's warning us to treat this as a holy thing. So notice this. The warning may have reference to the unsaved. I don't doubt that. But although it is difficult to see how a person can remember one he does not know. So this isn't just to the unsaved. He is talking. The warning is certainly has reference to believers, and we are not to participate in the Lord's table lightly or lacking reverence. Never are we to do that. Paul underlines here the serious matter. To partake of the emblems of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy way. He says that such a person becomes guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It would be difficult to imagine such a terrible charge. For somebody to look at you and say, you're guilty of the blood in the body of Jesus. It kind of makes you cringe. Amen. Hear me today as we go forward in this. Paul mentions also a very reasonable decision. He doesn't say, look, you know, if you're unworthy, that's it. He don't just do that. He gives us a very reasonable decision in verse 28. And this should be the preparation before the supper. But let a man examine himself. You ever taken an exam? You answer questions. And the way you do on that test shows if you're going to pass or not. To examine yourself is to look within your own heart. to search within your own heart and ask yourself, is there anything before the participation in the Lord's Supper? There should be this heart searching. Is there any unconfessed sin in my life? Does anyone have anything against me or me against them? Am I walking in the fellowship with the Lord in the light of His Word? Have I been neglecting anything? And if you have yes to any of that, I'm going to give you a very simple solution. Give it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you. He loves us, church. I want everybody in this room tonight to partake of this if you're honest with yourself and the Lord. There's been times when I was a sinner. I'd sit in Lighthouse Tabernacle. I felt awkward, but I stayed in that pew because I had a fear. I remember Brother Silvers would always do communion, and it seemed like his finger was 100 foot long when he pointed and said, "Unworthily." I was, oh, as a sinner, I ain't touching that stuff. Afraid of it. But good. I'm glad I just didn't run up there and start drinking grape juice for the fun of it. Eating saltine crackers. Ain't good enough to go to hell over. Ain't good enough to take lightly. I'll tell you tonight, church, search your hearts. The Holy Ghost is here to help you and to encourage you. The Lord wants you to partake tonight. But with this, let's not do it unworthily. We've got to search our hearts. He says this, there's first the judgment that is deserved. He says this, if for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. The word damnation there can be rendered judgment. And he says this, not discerning the Lord's body. I take that two ways. You're not discerning the Lord's body, what He did for you at Calvary. But there is in the church what we call the mystical body of Christ. And you can read about it in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. That we are the body of Christ. And that we are jointly fixed together, put together. And that we come together to build each other up in holiness and purity and a closer walk with the God. And to encourage each other with our worship and our singing and our words and our time and our preaching and our praying and everything about it. In our first Sunday fellowship dinner, we encourage one another. We do everything in this church. We're one body. So not discerning the we know the memorial body of Christ, of course, and the body He now has. But also the body of Christ now must be respected. We must respect one another. So with this said, He says, not discerning the Lord's body. We have to move forward into this tonight. We're about to have communion. And if we would, can we... And as we do this, usually I was trying to refresh my memory. I'm horrible at that. I'm not worried tonight so much about getting every word right, but I want this to be a good time in the Lord. Amen. If we could, as we usually gather, first pew and then every other pew behind that, that way the ushers can come around and deliver. We are, if you would stand to your feet, we're going to partake of communion tonight and ask God just to make this a special time. And ask God to help us. Amen.